I want to share this morning just a little on a little word found in the scriptures, and it's not a word that we often consider. And it's quite an interesting little word. It's just got 5 letters in it. And it's the word Selah. Selah. Most of the Bible commentators and teachers are not really too sure what this word means. You know, it was a word that was transliterated from the Hebrew, and it's generally agreed or assumed mean arrest. But we're not too sure. It's found in the scriptures only about 75 times. 71 of those times are in the book of Psalms. 3 are in the book of Habakkuk. And 1 as a reference to a name. The word Selah is actually which is probably one of the reasons why I like it quite a bit. It's actually a musical term. It's instructions to the musicians. And as I said, most people generally accept that it means to pause or to rest. And you get these in the Psalms quite frequently. You know, you'll see it mainly in the titles, the little bits above the top of the Psalm, where it says that it's this Psalm is to be played to this tune, or it's to be played upon this instrument. And they give you these different designations. But this word Selah normally occurs in the middle of the text, at the end of a verse. And you'll read a verse and then there'll be the word Selah. And it's often omitted from Bible reading. Whenever we read it, particularly if there's like a public reading taking place, and you go through the verses, you'll skip over it. You won't read it because you think it's just it's a word that, because you perhaps don't understand it or because you don't know what it is. You skip by it. But there's 3 main definitions of this word, or 3 understandings of what this word means. And I want to just look at each one of those this morning and apply it to the Christian life. So if you're looking for a title for the message, it's the Selahs of the Christian life. Now the word Selah, we're going to turn first of all to Psalm 85, because I want you to see where the setting of the first one. In Psalm 85, verse 2, it says, "You have forgiven the iniquity of your people, you have covered all their sin, Selah." What some people say this word means is it was an instruction to the musicians to change the key of the piece that was being played, or the song that was being sung, and we get that quite a few times. To be honest, I tend not to change the key in some of the choruses because I can't change that quick on the guitar. Changing on a keyboard is fine, I can do it that way, but I can't suddenly change key, not unless I'm following the music, because you play from you raise it a couple of semitones when you're playing along, and I find that transition is a little bit too tough. But you get it in some of those choruses we sing. You find you sing through a verse, or if you hear it on a CD or something being sung, or some professional playing it, you'll hear them sing it. A verse, and then I sing a chorus, and I sing a verse, then a chorus, and then perhaps the next verse I drop it up a key, so everything changes. You know, that's some people have said that's what it means, that at that point in the piece, you're raising the key, or dropping the key, or lowering the key. But there's that changing of a key. Now everything has to go through a change from time to time. be it from the weather to our bodies. We change. Now, I've just got a few facts here about to do with our body. Because I don't know whether you were aware of some of these things, but our blood changes its composition constantly. It's constantly changing. Our bones are constantly being replaced. I'm not saying take a bone out of that body and put a new one in, but the makeup of them, they change. We get new fingernails every 4 to 5 months, and our eyelashes only last for about 100 days. You might be interested to know that we change our skin more often than our clothes. I don't mean we change clothes every day, but you know, we go out and buy a new set of clothes or a new wardrobe of clothes. We change our skin more often than we change our wardrobe or our clothing. In actual fact, we change our skin every month. Our whole bodies. How old is she? 7. Well, that's good then. You're just old enough. Because our whole bodies completely change every 7 years. So the next time somebody asks you your age, you can truthfully tell them you're 7. Especially you ladies. Our body is constant, or changes, it renews itself every 7 years. Not all at the same time, as you're probably aware, you know. You know, our cells, they regenerate. But our whole body's undergone a complete change every 7 years. So just a few different things, a few facts there about our body. But everything goes through a change. You know, we're constantly changing. You know, the weather changes. People tend to change their minds about things. And the first great selah of life is that of change. The change from darkness into light. That's the greatest change that we'll ever make. You know, when we change from dark into light. When we change from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's Son. In actual fact, the Bible tells us this in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, that if any man is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. That's something that's been changed. A new creation. Something that's been made new. You know, those that are in Christ Jesus, actually the verse goes on, and it's to complete the verse, to give it in its entirety, it says, the old is gone, and the old has passed away. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away. All things have become brand new. And that's the greatest change. That's the greatest change any one of us, when the day we gave our hearts and lives to Jesus, and he came into us and changed us. He forgave us our sins. You know, just what we've been remembering as we came to the communion table this morning, that our sins have been cleansed. You know, Jesus came, he died, he suffered, he died so that we could be clean. So that we could have a hope of a new life. You know, I've said this before and I'll say it again. I heard a preacher, and it's a preacher I like to listen to quite frequently, particularly on the telly. And I've got a few of his books and CDs and things. And his name is Jesse Duplantis. Now, if you've heard of Jesse Duplantis, you'll know that one of the things he says quite frequently in his messages, particularly his gospel messages, says, if you didn't like the way you were born the first time, get born again. If you didn't like the way you were born the first time, get born again. Because when you're born again, or when you're made completely new, it's a complete change. Yeah, you're making things in your life right now that you don't quite like. And I'm not talking about your looks or your makeup or things like that, but you might know there's things in your life. You think, well, I wish I could just not be quite like that, and could be a little bit better and a little bit more for God. Well, change. Go through that change. You ask the Lord to change you. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. No, the Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter 12, and I believe I touched on this last week, tells us here, it says in Romans 12 verse 2, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There the Bible tells us not to conform to this world, but to be transformed, to be changed. That word transform there is the same word from which we get our English word metamorphosis, to change. And that's the same thing that, like the caterpillar, but it changes into the butterfly. It goes through a process, a metamorphosis. And it changes from one creature into another creature. It changes from something which is a bit of a pest. That's what the caterpillar is, you know, it eats all the leaves, all the foliage on the plants. And you know, you get that invasion of caterpillars and it doesn't do your garden any good. But when it's transformed, it becomes one of the most beautiful creatures that there is. Change from a pest to something of great beauty. You know, as it spreads its wings and it turns into the butterfly. You know, that metamorphosis. And that's what Jesus did for us. That's the great change. The first selah of the Christian life. The change from darkness to light. The change from sin into righteousness. The change from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. You know, we were made a new creation. It was like the caterpillar that became the butterfly. Changed. Completely new. So some called called the selah for a change of key. Now, other people say that selah, and this is the one that's generally accepted as its meaning, to be a pause or a rest in the music. Many of you may not be familiar with music. Maybe you are. But in one of the songs we sang this morning, in the middle of the line, there's a rest. That's in the Jesus is the name we honour. In the music, it goes like this. It goes, Jesus, rest, is the name we worship, is the name we honour. That rest comes after the word Jesus. If you look at it in the music, you'll see it in there. And rest, or a pause, is vital to life. Especially our Christian life. You know, it adds something to the music. You know, rest adds to our life. If you remember in the story of creation where God created the heavens and the earth, you'll find it says in the scriptures that on the seventh day he rested from his work. God rested from his creating work. When we're looking at change, we looked at some things about the body. Even inside our own body, our hearts, in between every beat, there's a rest. The heart rests. It beats, rest. Beat, rest. In between every beat, there's a rest. And we've been made to rest. That's why God gave the command. It wasn't to do us any harm. He says, 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest. It's not to try and stop us from earning money. It's not to try and hold us back or anything like that. But it's so that we rest. It's so that we give our bodies a chance to rest. And that's why we're supposed to sleep. Well, the scripture also tells us it's not good to go to bed late and to get up early, because we need to rest. Our body needs to rest. And let's just read a psalm, because I want you to see where. In Psalm 4, verse 4, we read these words. It says this, it says, I don't want to focus so much on the first line of the verse, but the first line of the verse says here, verse 4, says, be angry and do not sin. But then it says, meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Selah. Be still. Selah. Rest. actual fact, rest is good, but the best, really the best definition of the word selah isn't so much rest, it's pause. They just take a pause. Or we could put it like this, stop and think. Stop and think, that's what it says here. It says meditate within your heart. Stop and think. We're always told to stop and think. When we were growing up and we've been taught how to cross the road, stop and think. Don't just step out onto the road. You stop at the road's edge and you check, you think, make sure it's safe to cross, and then you can cross. Stop and think. A lot of people say stop and think. And the scripture tells us to stop and think, to meditate, to consider the things that God has done for us. And actually, in fact, a well-known psalm, and actually the word Selah follows these verses as well, in Psalm 46. It says here in Psalm 46, verses 10 and 11, it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Stop. You know, just be still and know that He is God. Be still and just take a rest in God. In the book of Hebrews, we're told to strive to enter into the rest. The rest that God has for us. Rest is also a key part of the life of faith. When you're trusting God for something, you know, maybe you're trusting God for your family to come to the Lord, or you're trusting God for a touch in your body, or you're trusting God to meet some pressing need, the last thing you want to do is rest. But that's where the victory is won. Just hand it to God and then rest. Take a break. Let God deal with it. Be still and know that I am God. You know, when you don't rest, then you get into the area of worry. You get into fear. You get into anxiety. Because you're trying to work out how to solve the problem or how to meet the need. But all God wants us to do is to rest. Rest in Him. That's why we're to strive to enter into the rest. That's what Hebrews tells us that. You know, this life of faith. Yeah, just hand it to God and then let Him take care of it. You know, there was a story told of a lady that was quite a well-known lady. And she was going through some problems in her life. And, you know, she prayed to God and, you know, she wouldn't rest. She asked God to take the problems or to meet the needs. She just wouldn't rest. And actually, in fact, it got so bad she was spending most of her time during the night awake in worry and prayer. When she wasn't worrying, she was praying. When she wasn't praying, she was worrying. And in the end, it got to such a state where she was really making herself worse because she wasn't resting. And she read a verse in the scriptures that says that God neither slumbers nor sleeps. And then it suddenly hit her. Almost like a punch in the stomach. You know, that thought came to her. Well, if God doesn't sleep, God doesn't slumber, and He's got His hands upon me, there's no point in me being awake as well. If He doesn't sleep, then I can take some rest. And she, once that revelation hit her and she started to rest, she got some sleep and she started to stop and stop worrying, then the answer came to her prayers. But it's good to rest. It's good to pause. It's good to just stop and think a moment. Particularly in prayer. You know, prayer is not meant to be hurried, but it's meant to be meditative or thoughtful. Pray, listen, pause. We very often you find this, that people pray. They pray. They pray. Some pray and listen. But it's best to pray, listen, and pause. And allow God just to minister to you. And if you're always praying, you're never listening, you never hear what God says, you never hear the instruction. You know, some people pray, they hear what God says, but that's as far as it goes. It's best that when we pray and we hear what God says, that we stop and think about it and let God do his work inside us. You know, take that time to pause, to rest. So the word, the Selah, and the last one will be very quick. Some say called for the changing of the key. You know, change. That's the first great Selah of the Christian life, is that of change. The second is that we rest. And the third and the last Selah of the Christian life is that some people say this word Selah means like an emphasis or a musical climax or a burst of praise. It's like a crescendo in the music. And the third Selah is that of the thankful heart. You know, we are to be a praising people, giving glory to the one who gave us life. There's no greater thing that we can be involved in than giving praise and thanks to God and worship. You know, if we just go back to Psalm 84. There's a beautiful verse here, Psalm 84. Verse 4 says this: blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you, Selah. Yes, it's good to have change. Not everybody likes change, but it's good to have it. It's good to rest. Not everybody rests, but it's vital to our life. And it's also good that we have a life that's giving praise and glory to God for what he's done. We've all got so much to thank God for. We've all got so much that we can praise him for. You know, without repeating myself, you know, just a few weeks ago, you know, I mentioned about an occasion where I was driving. You know, and God just quickened something to me as I was driving. You know, in my spirit there, something came up within me. I thought, oh yeah, I remember that. Started to thank God for it. Then as I began to thank him, you know, the Lord kept dropping other things into my spirit. Said, oh yeah, Lord, I remember you doing that for me. Yes. And I started to give thanks and praise. You know, this just kept happening for about an hour as I was driving, and the Lord just kept bringing things to my remembrance that he'd done. Some from many years ago, some just recent. You know, and they just kept coming and coming, and I just kept giving thanks and praise. You know, and as the more I thanked God, the more I praised him, the more I had to praise him. Because the more, he just kept quickening things. You know, it's good to be thankful, good to be praising. You know, the third Selah of life is that of a thankful heart. Giving God thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, Thessalonians says. That we pray without ceasing, but in everything we give thanks to God. Giving thanks. So let me encourage you this morning to embrace change. Yeah, change happens whether we like it or not. But welcome it, embrace it. Take time to pause and rest, particularly where in God, and just listen to what he says to you. And then be a person that expresses praise and thanksgiving. You know, that burst of praise. You know, that should just flow off of our lips. You know, just to thank God for what he's done. Not so much, not also just thank God, but just be thankful in all things. You know, to those you meet. You know, just be a thankful person. You know, take time to thank people when they do things for you. You just be an encouragement to them. That your life might be a life of thanksgiving and praise. So these three Selahs, changing of the key, a pause or rest in the music, And that musical climax that demands a burst of praise, or that crescendo. So let's be encouraged this morning. You know, God is good. He's got all everything in our lives in His hands. He knows us from the beginning. He knows we need to change. He knows we need to rest. He knows that we need to have thanks. We give thanks. So Father, we just give You thanks and praise this morning for this opportunity, Lord, that we've had to just come together. Father, we thank You for Your word to us this morning. Lord, that You've given us these, Lord, to say last. Lord, not, Lord, to dominate us, but Lord, to benefit us and give us, Lord, what You know we need. Father, we just thank You, Lord, for the change, Lord, that's taken place in our lives. Thank You, Lord, that when we came to You, we gave our hearts to You, Father. Lord, You did something good on the inside. Lord, You took out the old, You put in the new. Lord, You took out the, Lord, the rotten, and You gave us something that was, Lord, perfect. Father, we thank You, Lord, for our sins forgiven. Lord, we thank You, Lord, for the new hope we have in Christ Jesus. Father, Lord, teach us to be restful. Lord, to ponder and consider, Lord, what You're saying. Lord, when we trust You, Lord, to Lord, take time to rest, Lord, knowing that You've got it in hand. And Father, Lord, we won't forget, Lord, that we're to be a thankful people. Lord, giving praise to You. Lord, we bring our prayers and requests with thanksgiving. So Father, Lord, as we ponder on this word this morning, Lord, that You'll continue to, Lord, shape us. Lord, and make us into the people, Lord, You want us to be. So Father, we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise You, Lord.